man. Well, welcome back. I am so happy to see you. Turn to your family members, and I want you to tell them, what is one thing that makes you really happy? What's one thing that makes you really happy? Tell your family members. Go. I'll tell you something that makes me really happy, honest and truly, is an organization like CURE. I'm like, man, if this is not close to the heart of Jesus, I don't know what is. An organization that is all about loving children, ministering to children, helping children, that just makes me happy. I work with teenagers, but kids are one step away from becoming teenagers. So I'm so excited for what they do. And if it surprises you that they face opposition, can I remind you of the Word of God that says, because there is an effective door that has been opened to me, there are many who oppose me. So this is an effective door of ministry that's bringing the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you know the enemy hates this. You know the enemy hates it, so they do whatever they can to try to stop it. Man, I encourage you, be generous in your giving to this organization. Can I do a little self-promotion? Yes, Greg, thank you. Back on the table back there, I just want to let you know that I have a 2-CD set for parents or grandparents on what they can do to better get along with their kids. If you're sitting by a kid right now, look at them, point at them, and say, I need this CD to get along with you. I need this CD to get along with you. So those are available back there for only $10 if you are interested. And if you get one, I would be glad to sign it. We're on a journey about what it means to really live for Jesus. And tonight, I want to talk to you about something we just don't talk about enough that is so important. And that's your words. And the fact that your words matter. What comes out of your mouth matters. I told you I was born and raised in California. And we have a mountain by us. It's called Mount Diablo. And it snows on Mount Diablo. It does not snow in the valley where we were, but it does snow up on the mountain. And one day, my parents decided to take me to the snow. Now, I'm just a little squirt. We go up to the snow, first time I've ever been in the snow, and it is just amazing. I'm tubing and throwing snowballs, and we're making snowmen, and it's the best. And now the sun is setting, and it's time to go home, but I don't really get it. I'm a little kid, and I don't want to go home. So they load me in the car. This is before seatbelts. I am standing on the back seat with my hands on the front seat, and I'm crying. I don't want to go home. I don't want to go home. I want to stay and play in the snow. I don't want to go home. Now, it is one lane down the mountain, and it is one lane up the mountain, and it is just bumper-to-bumper traffic heading down this mountain. So I'm crying. My father's trying to get us down the mountain, and my mother turns around to comfort me. And she reaches out and she pats me on the hand and she goes, that's okay, Greg. We'll come back to the snow again. And as a little squirt, I looked at my mother and I said, shut up. oh, baby. My father grabbed the wheel of the car. He yanked it over and pulled the car over as close to the mountain as he could and slammed on the brakes. He put the car in park. He got out of the front seat. He opened the back door. My little life flashed before my eyes. He reached in and pulled me out of the car. He brought me around to the back of the car, and he explained to me that I was never to talk to my mother like that again. Did I understand him? Oh, wow. He couldn't believe how much I understood him. Yes. And just to make sure, he made a memory before God and all the passing traffic. He pulled down my little pants and he gave me a spanking. Now, imagine doing that today. Imagine pulling your car over to the side of the road, pulling your child out and giving him a spanking. Everybody be on their cell phones. Whoa, terrorist attack. Whoa. You know what they did back then? I'm getting a spanking. Cars are passing us going, yeah, woo. And you know what? I totally deserved it. And do you know what I learned as a little guy? Words matter. Words matter. For good or for bad, words matter. And what comes out of my mouth is something that I need to be more conscious of, and I need to be more purposeful. You know, there is a good saying that says, make sure your brain is turned on before you engage your mouth. You know what I believe if we were honest enough tonight? I believe I could say, all right, let's just start. We'll start with this row of women right here. And what we're going to do is I'm going to have you stand up one at a time and tell us all something incredibly stupid you've said in your lifetime that you deeply regret. You know what? We could all come up with that. We could all come up with that. That we were not thinking correctly. We were not thinking straight. It was the heat of the moment. And we said something that we regretted. I could share a number of those things with you. Your words matter. So let's begin to look at this from God's perspective. Number one, your words are important to God. Your words are important to God. And if your words are important to God, they ought to be important to you. James chapter 1 and verse 26. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Did you hear that? By your words, you validate your relationship with Jesus Christ. You proclaim him as alive, God Almighty, or by your words, you make him look worthless. That's a huge responsibility. That's a big responsibility. And you know what? We ought to take that responsibility a lot more seriously. We need to be about speaking life into one another. We need to be about encouraging one another. We need to be building up one another. I speak two languages fluently. I don't know how many languages you speak, but I speak two fluently. I speak English and I speak sarcasm. And some of you may also speak sarcasm fluently. I want to tell you that sarcasm can be really funny. Sarcasm can be hysterical. But do you know what my wife taught me? My wife taught me that sarcasm was a wall I hid behind so I didn't have to be vulnerable, so I didn't have to be open. And I want to say that sometimes we use sarcasm to zing other people. We use sarcasm to hurt other people under the guise of, hey, come on, what's the matter? Can't you take a joke? Come on, man, I'm just kidding around. I want to encourage you to put sarcasm on the back burner, and I want you to be about building one another up. I know this will take a little time, and I'm going to pause and give you that time. And I don't want any sarcasm. Zero sarcasm. Men, I'm talking to you. Zero sarcasm now. I want you to turn to every person in your family, and I want you to tell them one thing you love about them. What's one thing you love about them? Go ahead and tell them that right now. Go. Stupidest thing my mother ever said to me. I had a great mom, but this was dumb. Stupidest thing my mother ever said to me is one day she looked at me and she said, Greg, sticks and stones can break your bones, but words can never hurt you. Really? I'd much rather be hit by a stick. I'd much rather be nailed by a stone. That pain is momentary. Words can hurt for a lifetime. I want you to catch each other being good. I want you to look for opportunities to affirm each other, to stop taking each other for granted. The other day, I took out the garbage. That is my responsibility as a married man. I take out the garbage. Bonnie and I have been married for over 40 years. We were married when we were 11. We were very mature, very mature. For over 40 years, I've taken out the garbage once a week. I took out the garbage last week. I walked in the house and my wife looked at me and said, thanks for taking out the garbage. Did she have to say that? No. You know why she said that? Because she just wanted to speak life into me. Because she just wanted to catch me being good. Because she just wanted to care about me. Do you know how romance goes down the tubes? Yeah. When you start taking each other for granted. When you've got all these expectations, I just expect you're going to cook me a meal. I just expect you're going to bring me back a paycheck. I just expect you're going to build that. I expect you're going to clean that. I expect you're going to do all that stuff. So when they do it, it's the least you've expected of them, so you don't appreciate them. Get rid of your expectations. Catch them being good. Look for opportunities to speak life into them. I'm sure when you look at me, you think, I bet he was a great athlete. Thank you very much. Thank you. I played football in school. I played tight end. They would time me with a sundial, but I could catch the ball. And one day, after two-a-day practices, after the second practice, It's summertime. I'm coming off the field, and I've got my helmet in my hand, and sweat is pouring off my face, and I'm dragging through the locker room, and I'm thinking to myself, is this all worth it? And my head coach runs past me. He does one thing, says three words, and transforms me. He runs past me, and as he does, he smacks me on the backside. I don't know why coaches do that, but they always do that. So he whacks me on the backside. Whoa. I look at him, and he says to me, good job, Speck. And he just kept running. Boom. My entire day was transformed. Why? Because somebody noticed. Do you notice when your wife does things well? Do you notice when your husband does things well? Do you notice when your children do things well? When your parents do things well? When you notice that, mention that. Don't just think, oh, that was really good. Oh, that was really great. Don't just think it. I want you to say it. A word can change a person's entire day. A word can give them a reason to keep on living. Build each other up. Now let me talk a second about something that will bring tremendous joy to your heart, and that's the words you post on social media. I'm really concerned today with the things Christians post on social media. Parents, do you know what your kids are posting on social media? Do you understand the words they're sharing? You know, when they write the letters WTF, what do you think that stands for? You think that stands for welcome to Facebook? No, it doesn't. When they put on their OMG, what do you think that's saying? We are communicating to a lot of non-Christians on social media, and they're watching what we post. And by our words, we validate our relationship with Christ, or by our words, we make that relationship look worthless. I am appalled at the number of things that are forwarded to me on social media that are outright lies. Absolutely untrue. But because it supports your political point of view and you like it, you just pass it on. You are lying to people. You are deceiving people. You are not doing due diligence. And this post is representing you. I would encourage you, my brothers and sisters, do not forward anything until you have checked it out and made sure this is something legitimate. And let me tell you, today, that's not that hard. You just go over to Google and you just type it in Google, and usually you can find out pretty quick whether this is true or whether it isn't true. It's important that on social media we represent Jesus Christ well. Do you understand? You do not need to post on every statement you disagree with. You understand that? Do you understand that you can flip through and you can look at certain things that you totally disagree with? You don't have to post on that. You don't have to write something negative. You don't have to go off on them. You don't have to do that at all. Do you understand that? And how many people do you think have been changed because of a social media post? How many Democrats have become Republicans because of a social media post? How many Republicans have become Democrats because of a social media post? Zero, zippo. Could I encourage you not to join in the fight about things that really do not have a lot of eternal significance? I don't want you to anger people and turn people off to Christ, which is of utmost importance. Remember what I talked about the first morning, Sunday morning, when I spoke to you? And that is, maybe we need to be less focused on political issues and more focused on the cause of Christ. I want to say that it is important that we speak out for social justice. I want to remind you that racism is a sin. And racism comes from Satan and is meant to divide us. We need to stand up for the oppressed. We need to speak out for those who are being used and abused. We want to be strong and courageous in this area. Where do we draw the line? Here's where we draw the line. We ask ourselves, does it bring glory to God? Does rioting bring glory to God? No. Does looting bring glory to God? No. Do beating people up bring glory to God? No. No. None of those bring glory to God. But we stand for social justice. But listen to me. Social justice and the gospel walk hand in hand. It was Jesus that embraced the Samaritan woman there at the well. It's Jesus who talked about the good Samaritan in the parable and who really was the friend there. It was Jesus who spoke out against racism back in his day, and they understood that was a huge statement. And so we walk gospel, social justice, hand in hand, because truly it's Jesus Christ that sets men and women free. It's Jesus Christ that gives them dignity and self-worth and a future. It's Jesus Christ we proclaim as Lord. So let's walk together hand in hand. Number two, second, your words reveal the real you. Your words reveal the real you. Not what you appear to be sitting in this pew, but what you're really like. Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 36. It says this: make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. And then let me just pause a second so you catch verse 36. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. Words are important to God. And your words reveal the real you. See, he's telling us there's a process that takes place. And the process is this: whatever we take into our eyes, whatever we take into our ears, whatever we experience goes down into our heart. And out of the overflow of our heart, we act and we speak. And the good person brings good things out of the good stored up in them, and the evil person brings evil things out of the evil stored up in them. See, the question is not what are you like sitting here in this pew at Maranatha, But what do you like when you're at home? Or what do you like when you're hanging out with friends? What kind of words come out of your mouth? What do you say to other people? That's an indication of what's going on inside of your heart. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit, so you are recognized by the fruit of your words and what comes out of your mouth. If I took you to an apple orchard and you walked over and you picked an apple, bink, and you bit into it. Oh, man. And it's soft, and it's mushy, and it's warm, and there's half of something crawling in it, you'd be like, wow, that is a bad apple. That's a bad apple tree. But if I took you to the state of Washington, and we went into an apple orchard, and you picked one of their apples, bink, and you bite into it. Oh, man. Oh, and it is sweet, and it is juicy, and it's cold, and it's crisp. And you eat that apple, and you say, wow, that is a great apple. That's a great apple tree. Apples are known by its fruit, so you and I are recognized by your fruit. Could I ask you the question? What are you taking into your life? Over the last couple of weeks, what are you taking into your life? What are you looking at? What are you listening to? Because honestly, that's what's coming out of your life. And if you want to be a man of purity, then take purity in. If you want to be a woman of integrity, then take things that are of character into your life. Fill your life with that honors God, and what comes out of your life will be that which honors God. And then number three, thirdly, this should never come out of your mouth. Do you know that there are a list of things that God says, this should never be uttered by you. This should not come out of your mouth. And I want to check this out with you. It's found in the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. It says this. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and in the image of its creator. Let me hit on some of these that should never, ever come out of your mouth. One is anger or rage. What is rage? Well, rage is anger out of control. Do you know that when you are an angry person, you kill conversations? You kill communication. Why is that? Because when you're angry, you don't really care about anybody else. All you want to do is just kind of shove your opinions down somebody else's throat. Now, was that a little uncomfortable? Yeah. I did that because I wanted you to feel what it's like to be around an angry person. It's uncomfortable. You're walking on eggshells. One time you can say this and everything's fine, and the next time you say this and there's an explosion. If you're an angry person, and look, I'm going to ask you right now to just own your stuff. Just own your stuff. So if tonight you are an angry person, and you know that better than anybody, then I'd like to give you two choices. Two things I'd like you to do. You choose one of these. Choice number one is stop it. Stop it. You say to me, are you kidding me? And I say to you, not even a little bit. No. You say, Greg, is that even possible? Well, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So maybe what you just need to do is step up to the plate and say, starting now, I will no longer be an angry man. Starting now, I will no longer be an angry woman. I am going to make that choice. And do you know how I can say that? Because I was an angry man. Last night, you saw my beautiful wife, Bonnie, here. She is a gift. She is a godly woman. And when we were first married, I'm telling you, if she was not a godly woman, about 2 years into our marriage, she would have said to me, bye-bye. She'd have been done. I had an anger problem, and I would just lash out at her emotionally, not physically, but emotionally. And one day, Bonnie said something, I got upset, and I lashed out at her, and she started to cry. And for whatever reason, at that moment, God broke my heart. And I looked at my wife and I said to her, I am so sorry. I said to her, I will never do this again. I am so sick of being an angry man. I'm so sick of being offended over every little thing. I'm so sick of exploding at people. I'm so sick of hurting relationships. I'm so sick of how I feel depressed and down. I'm so sick of it all. I will never do this again. And Bonnie would say to you, he was a changed man after that. And maybe that's what you need to do. Maybe you need to acknowledge it, you need to own it, and you need to choose to stop it now. Or second choice, second option, you say, I can't do it on my own. Then I want you to get some help. Then I want you to go and get some counseling. Allow somebody to give you some tools, because the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. And your anger is damaging to your family, to your friends, to others. Get some help and get some encouragement in this area. Second area God says to get rid of is filthy language. Get rid of filthy language. So I become a Christian as a senior in high school, right? I'm playing football. And this would be pretty much how the Friday night would go. We would arrive a little early. We come into the locker room. We just sit down and we relax a little bit and we get our head in the right spot. And then there would be some music that would crank. And when the music cranked, we'd get up and we'd suit up. So we'd get on the pads and we'd get on the jerseys and we would get all that stuff together. And then we would sit back down on the benches and then our coaches would come out. And our coaches would give us a little pep talk. And then they would turn to our captains and they would say, take them out. And our coaches would walk away. And our captains would say to us, strap it on. We take our helmets and we put them on, we snap it up, and we turn to each other, and we bang each other on the pads, and we slap each other on the helmets, and they would say, "Let's go!" And everybody would yell, and we'd head out of the locker room, and you'd come out of the locker room, and we'd walk around our swimming pool, and then we'd come up this rise, and there in the distance would be our football field, filled with our fans, the lights are on. As soon as we crested that hill, the band would start the fight song. Everybody would stand to their feet. Lining the path as we would walk up were all our fans, and they'd be slapping us on the helmets and the pads. And when the last guy passed, they'd all run for the stands. And then our captains would get us together, and for about 30 seconds, it was just a torrent of profanity. All right, let's go! And then we'd run for the field. So this is what I'm used to. And now I become a Christian. And now I realize there should be no profanity coming out of my lips. None. And that was really hard because I was used to profanity. So I want you to know I came up with a word. And instead of saying profanity, I would say this word. And this helped me so much. Helped me so much. And I'm going to share the word with you because it's a great word to share and say if you're frustrated. The word is Gnortenforts. Gnortenforts. Turn to the person next to you and say, Gnortenforts. Gnortenforts. That's a great word to say if you get upset. Oh, Gnortenforts! I'd be playing basketball, and the referee would call a foul on me. I'd be like, "Oh, Gnortenforts!" And the ref would be like, "What'd you say?" I'd be like, "Gnortenforts?" He'd be like, "You swearing in German? What is that right there?" And that was a great way for me to move away from profanity. I'd like you to move away from profanity. Do you want to know the worst profanity you can use? And please teach your children this, because I taught my children this. The one word that should never come out of your mouth, the worst form of swearing, and I'm just going to say it. Jesus Christ. Oh my God. It's taking the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and using his name as a filler. Do you know what we call that? We call that blasphemy. That is blasphemy. Do you know what they do to you if you are a Muslim and you blaspheme the name of Muhammad? Do you know what they do to you? They end your life. As Christians, we don't do that because we're about loving and caring. But I also want to say, we want to make sure that we never, ever blaspheme our God. We want to make sure that never, ever, ever do our children blaspheme our God. And whether they believe in God or whether they don't, they need to have more respect than that. In the Old Testament, if you blasphemed, you were in big, big trouble. And lastly, I just want to hit on lying. Lastly, I want to hit on lying. Never, ever, ever lie. Do not lie to each other. Never lie. Why? Let me give you four reasons why you never lie. One, God hates a lying tongue. He hates a lying tongue. Proverbs chapter 6. Six things God hates, seven that are detestable to him. Number two on the list is lying. Do not lie, number two, because if your word doesn't mean anything, you don't mean anything, because you are your word. And you need to be men of women of character, and people need to believe exactly what you say. Look at a person not in your family. Look at a person not in your family. So maybe turn around to the people behind you and ask them this question. When your grandfather made a deal with another man, what did they do to seal that deal? Just tell the person behind you. What'd you do to seal that deal? I'll tell you what you did. You looked each other in the eye and you put out your hand and you shook each other's hand and it was a done deal. You know why? Because their word meant exactly what it says. Do you know why we have contracts this thick? Because people are liars. Because people are liars. When Maranatha contacts me and say, Greg, would you come and speak? I say, I would love to speak. If they say to me, will you send us a contract? I say to them, I don't have a contract. Now, if you have a contract, I'm happy to sign it. I have no problem with that. I'll sign it, send it back, but I don't have a contract. Because my word is my bond, and I expect your word to be your bond. And then lastly, do not lie, because when you lie, you speak Satan's native tongue. John chapter 8, he is the father of lies. When you lie, it's like speaking a foreign language. It would be like all of a sudden me being able to speak Spanish. Buenas noches, señores, señoritas, el... guapo. It'd be like all of a sudden me being able to speak German. Guten Abend, wie geht es Ihnen? Geht es dir gut? Oh, das ist wunderbar. It'd be like all of a sudden me being able to speak French. Oh, bonjour, monsieur de bon temps, allez, je déversons, conseil, oui, oui. Be like all of a sudden me speaking Italian. Eh, hey, buongiorno, eh, hey, pizza, I don't know. When you lie, you speak a language Satan readily understands. You got to be about the truth starting now. Here's your assignment for the rest of this evening. And take this assignment seriously. Number one, there are two parts to it. Number one, you are not to utter one negative thing about anybody to anybody. Do not utter one negative thing about anybody to anybody. And by the way, what is that called? And what is that word to get rid of? That's slander. Stop gossiping. Gossiping is a sin. Stop gossiping. So don't say anything negative about anybody to anybody for the rest of tonight. And secondly, you're going to compliment and build up at least one time every member of your family. So you're just going to share something you appreciate about them. You're going to catch them being good. You're going to just verbally love on them. Your words matter to God. You need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, and you need to honor Him by the words that come out of your mouth. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for these men and women. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage them in their walk with you. And I pray that they would take their words seriously on social media and what they say. And I pray, God, that we would make you look good and not worthless. We love you. We thank you for this evening. Give us a wonderful rest of the night together as a family. For we just pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.